Welcome to BizRocket Radio with Stone Payton and John Baker. John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation. And now, get ready for BizRocket Radio. Here's Stone Payton and John Baker.
Welcome to BizRocket Radio. This is John Baker, host of our show today. And BizRocket Radio is an opportunity for us to get a chance to talk to executives and business owners here in the Atlanta area, learn from some of the experiences that they've had, the challenges, as well as the successes. And today we are blessed to have a couple of ladies that are going to be talking to us about social media, and some of their expertise kind of lies in that area. Our first guest is Diane Crompton, and Diane I've known for many years. She's actually been on the show, so she's a second timer. Welcome back in.
Thanks, John. It's great to be here.
So, Diane, maybe you could give us a little bit of background. Diane's official title, and this is very official, is social media smarty. Right? I keep missing that.
Yes,
missing
I
that
take
one.
Myself very seriously.
Very seriously. She's it's on her card and everything. So, so tell us a little bit about your background and how you got into all this.
Yeah, it's kind of an interesting story. I have a background in recruiting, coaching, and training. And through that, I actually had an early interest in social networking tools. And I actually have a colleague that I work with, and the two of us got very captivated by the power of social networking, and we became early adopters of tools like LinkedIn, really in large part due to the fact that we saw the real power from a personal branding perspective. We have written two books on the topic, and it's really just been an unfolding kind of organic story since then. I have enough interest that I actually did form my own consulting business around this, really to work with individuals and teams on how to develop a strategy that works for their objectives and how to fully leverage these tools from a personal branding and also business development perspective. So it's an ever-changing world, and every day is a little different for me. So I really love it.
And in the consulting side of things, mm-hmm. who do you find yourself working with mainly?
Well, it's a variable group. I can work with individual end users, people who are wanting to develop a robust online brand, either from a career management or job-seeking perspective, or even teams working with small businesses to leverage the capability so that they can tie the branding of the individual to the bottom line corporate objectives. So I do that through live in-person coaching and training. I can also do that virtually. So I don't really have to work with someone local to Atlanta, although I do work with a lot of people in Atlanta.
Is there a group, I know you work a lot with people that are going through transition.
Yes.
And that tends to be a natural mm-hmm. kind of mixture to this type of social media.
Sure.
Is that where you find most of your people are coming from?
I think that there's a lot more urgency, and it's kind of there's more of a call to action for people who are in transition to utilize social networking tools because they've heard that this is a must-have. And I think it is absolutely critical for anyone in transition to establish a robust online brand. But I think it's a little bit of a misunderstanding for anyone who's gainfully employed to think that they don't need to develop an online brand that's supportive of them and their skill set and what they can do, because it's the marketplace is just very dynamic and different than it used to be.
Don't you find that people get caught in this kind of ring of their traditional life, and social mm-hmm. media might not be part of that life, and until mm-hmm. it is forced upon them, they really don't adopt it? Has that been the case for the people that you've worked with?
Well, I do work with a lot of baby boomers, and I have found that it just depends on the individual. And I mean, people who are not really technologically adept, maybe people who might be more introverted by nature, more private, they tend to struggle with this onboarding of social tools more than other individuals. So, but I think that the key challenges really are getting people to understand that this is no longer optional, mm-hmm. that it really is something that everybody needs to do, because the reality is none of us are indispensable. All of us will be missed, but work will continue,
yeah.
and the marketplace is ever-changing. So to keep your stability regarding your career management and to stay relevant and smart, you've got to put yourself out there to a broader audience.
So tell us about your books. I think you've written two now, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah, we wrote our first book in 2008, and I did that in collaboration with one of my colleagues, Ellen Sauter, and... That was 7 Days to Online Networking. It was kind of a pocket book. It was a part of GIST Publishing's Help in a Hurry series. And then in late 2010, we crafted our second book, which is Find a Job Through Social Networking. And we got kind of late legs with the book. It's done well, but we recently got vetted by Quint Careers, which is one of the top career sites of career experts, that this is one of the top 15 must-have job search and career management books in the social media space. So we were surprised and pleased.
Yeah. You guys are hitting the big time.
Just remember
us little folk when you get up there, okay?
I'll try, John.
Just try. Remember who gave you your big break on radio.
Okay.
Okay, two times.
Two, not just one, but two. Once. That's right.
Why did you back? You were so good. All right, we're going to come back to you in just a second with a bunch of questions, because I've got all sorts of good things that I want to go through.
All right,
with
you
as well.
Got it.
So Debbie Reitz is our second guest, and Debbie is the VP of Sales and Marketing for Media Solutions Partners. So welcome in, Debbie.
Thank you. I appreciate being here today.
So maybe you could give us a little bit of background on you and the company.
I started my career, I actually used my degree in communications, and I went into TV work, and then I went to an ad agency, and then I began my career in print sales and magazine and so forth. And about 13 years ago, I finally wisened up, and I said, I need to get into digital space, and been fortunate to be involved in that in the last 13 years, social media being part of that, and I would say the last 6 or 7 years.
Mm-hmm. And what? Tell us about the company. What do you guys focus on? What do you do?
The company is was started in 2008. I joined in 2011. And it is a media strategy company working specifically with digital and social media and so forth. My favorite part, and this is what I do, is I do a lot of sales training on digital. A lot of folks still seem to want to know about the terminology and how to use it correctly and how to use it in their average work day. So I jump in and do a lot of training on that. We also do vendor support and content management as well.
So, Debbie, when you're working with clients, are they typically corporations, small companies, or individuals?
We actually work mostly with small, medium, and large companies. We haven't really worked too much with individuals at this point, although we'd be happy to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right now, I've found a bit of a niche where a lot of the software sales guys or the software or IT guys that sell financial systems and advertising systems don't necessarily know how to talk to the advertising sales staffs on digital.
Hmm.
So I kind of pull myself into it at that point, and I'm kind of a liaison between the IT company and the digital staff or the ad staff.
Like their own dictionary. They just
That's
walk
right.
around with you, right?
That's right.
Or thesaurus maybe is a better analogy. And how have you found that this kind of wave of social media has impacted your business? Have you guys been doing it for a while?
We've been doing it for 3 or 4 years. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I had great experience. I was formerly employed by Cox Enterprises, who specializes in media. And that's where I learned everything about social media and digital. And then I've just taken some of facts. Cox is still one of our clients, as well as a couple of other entities around here and nationwide. So, yes, we spend a lot of time working on support and trying to make sure everybody understands how to use social media. We've had a good following using LinkedIn and Facebook and showing them how to put their pages together and so forth. So,
have you found that people are coming to you more often looking for like the job search type of a piece? I mean, clearly, if you're working with businesses, it's probably more how do you get your own word out? How do you use social media for your own marketing? Is that your main niche?
It is, especially with small and medium-sized businesses that haven't done much yet.
Mm-hmm.
Helping them develop their website, making sure that they're clear in their descriptions of their company, specifically what they do, featuring their pictures. We've had to make sure that some people upgrade their pictures a bit.
Yeah.
We've had several people who want to use that skiing picture, you know, in on their LinkedIn profile. We've tried to.
Or the one 20 years ago.
When they had dark hair. Yeah.
You must have seen some really fun things on looking at websites.
We have.
All right, so what's the biggest mistake that people make in having that website out there? What's the biggest thing you see happen all the time?
Probably not enough detail and not enough information. I also, interestingly enough, just kind of a sidebar to that, I've seen a lot of people put things on LinkedIn or Facebook, or they've been tweeting about something that's probably not quite appropriate, and many people are picking that up. And it's probably, especially if they're looking for a job.
Right.
We've had to coach them on making sure that that is taken off their website or whatever, or their profile. And I think maybe even things that can be people who put their business information on more social networks like Facebook can be a little bit interesting, because you're on Facebook mostly to be with friends and relatives and so forth. They don't necessarily want a lot of business information there. So I think that can be a little tedious if you try to flip back and forth with the same type of information.
Well,
yeah,
that's a good point there. Can you guys maybe expand a little bit on that topic of kind of the don'ts of social mm-hmm. media? I mean, you see people that discussing politics and really stir up some firestorms. You know, they're playing games on Facebook and that shows up. When I see somebody on Facebook, a business person, in the middle of the day, and I get a request for Farmville, I'm thinking, this person's not a serious business person. I mean, can you guys speak to some of those topics, kind of the don'ts?
Yeah, sure. I can kind of interject here, and I'm sure Debbie and I have a lot of fodder here to mm-hmm. work with. But I think that, to your point, Andy, that one of the concerns is, are you making good use of your time? You know, really? Are you being strategic with what you're doing? Because this is a very transparent medium, and that's a great thing because it can share a lot of critical information, but it can also be really damaging because once it's out there, it's out there, and even if you were to retract the information, that footprint really never goes away. So what we usually say in the career space is don't share anything that you want your grandmother, your mother, or a relative to see. And if it doesn't meet that criteria, you really don't need to be talking about it. And then there is some etiquette attached to it as well. If you're going to share, I mean, we all have opinions regarding politics and a host of other things, but it could really hurt your brand professionally. I mean, who's your target audience? You know, do they share the same views? Are you going to be coming off as being divisive or overly opinionated? I mean, really, the whole goal here is to be an effective listener and meet your audience on their own terms and engage them in a real way to build rapport in a very organic way without trying to force the agenda and being authentic as well. So it's, I think that one of the biggest challenges really is that people utilize online tools without a mindful approach, and they forget that the same networking principles apply in face-to-face networking. I mean, nothing has really changed, even though it is an online tool.
A lot easier to do, but also a lot easier to get into trouble with as well. Debbie, do you have any input on that?
just a couple of comments, and they've this has happened to two friends of mine just recently. Both of them posted when they were going to be on vacation and where they were going, and they were very excited. And both of them have been broken into at their homes during that time. So I'm on a new path to make sure people don't post prior vacation trips or when they're going to be out of town, as well as their birth date, meaning the year they were born, because people can look up that information. And I've had an acquaintance that they've had some difficulty with that because they posted some private information like that. So I'm on a mission to get that corrected with everybody I know.
Yeah, don't do that, right? Mm-hmm. Well, let's take a step back and go into uses of this stuff, things that, that are very effective. And let's maybe talk a little bit about Diane and people in transition. Mm-hmm. Is LinkedIn the new, you know, resume? I mean, is that really what people are looking at more than just the piece of paper that you send them in to introduce your background?
Well, to your point, I mean, I think that within the scope of a couple of years, if not shorter, I just don't think the resume is going to be considered very viable or up to date anymore. And that's really as a consequence of the ease of use for recruiters and hiring managers and really anybody to use social tools, and in particular LinkedIn, to source, vet, credential, do due diligence on candidates. And I think the stats are, it's close to 90% now of companies and organizations are using these tools for those purposes. So I think you're absolutely right. I think that the idea of having a resume is going to become much more dated, and it will be something that will be kept on file, maybe after the fact. And that's certainly one of the points that I make with individuals that I'm coaching, is that if you don't really take a proactive approach with your social profiles, I mean, that might be the first point of engagement, and you might never know what you've missed.
Yeah.
Because maybe it's a flyby. You know, maybe they look at you and think, no, it's not relevant information, not flattering, or maybe not even found. So the resume could absolutely be secondary in short order. And frankly, I think it's already becoming secondary.
How are you finding the people that are looking for jobs? How are you finding them using things like LinkedIn and maybe Facebook to find the right in, to find the people that they really need to be talking to? It's always been said that I've heard is, finding a job isn't so much what you know, but it's who you know. Is that still the case?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think that the statistics are still 70 to 80% of the people who look for work are landing through some kind of a networking contact. So there's never been a more empowering time for people in transition, whether it's passive or active transition, to leverage these tools to establish networking contacts. But I've also found, ironically, that about 90% of the time, people who even think they're leveraging the tools fully are not. They're leaving the capability on the table. Maybe they don't have a strategy. Maybe they've adopted a build it and they will come approach. So they get a good looking profile and they just wait. And that's not really fully leveraging the tools. So there's a lot more that can be done to drive contact, to maintain and nurture and feed your network, and build your own visibility.
Mm-hmm. What about, and Debbie, on the corporate side, you look at corporate organizations, big, even medium-sized companies, they have departments that can handle this stuff. But if you're talking to somebody who's maybe a smaller business owner or maybe a consultant or something like that, you know, how do they really have the time to build something like this, and where's their real payoff going to be?
I usually tell clients that if they can do at least four or five different types of social networking, that's probably a pretty good number to stay with, because that is manageable. Takes maybe, you know, half an hour every couple of days to update your different accounts and things like that, or to post interesting blogs, whatever it might be. But certainly there are many, many good ones. But if you can stay, if you're a professional, most everybody I work with are definitely on LinkedIn and also Facebook. And then, of course, they do tweet, and they Google Plus is becoming big. So that one is also something we're talking to clients about.
Now, what's the difference with Google Plus versus Google?
Google Plus is, the best way I can describe it is it's similar to Facebook. they're trying to compete against Facebook. So if you kind of think in terms of the social networking aspect of Facebook, it's very similar. I don't use it as much. I'm on it, but I've kind of stuck with Facebook just because more of my acquaintances are on that at this point.
It's like a snowball rolling down a hill as it's just gotten bigger. It's like, well, God, if I had to restart everything, I got to refriend everybody. And then again, you may just have a whole mess of stuff at Facebook and be like, I'll start over. I'm just going to turn that thing off and go somewhere else, right?
Right, absolutely right.
What Andy had asked a really good question about what are the things that are people doing wrong? What are things that are people doing that people are doing right in these updates? You talk about every 2 or 3 days.
Right.
What are the kinds of things on LinkedIn, on Facebook, on these, you know, the tweets and the blogs? What do you need to be doing that really has most impact?
Probably not regurgitating everything that you've seen from someone else. I see that a lot, and I'm an avid, I'm online all the time, so I see what people post, and then sure enough, about 20 other people post that same information to some of the same groups that most of us would be in. I belong to 83 different groups, and I look at those on a regular basis. I don't get through them, you know, it takes a couple of days sometimes. But to be able to add really significant comments to various groups that you're interested in keeping up with is interesting. If someone is tweeting all the time, I don't like to see too many tweets during the day because, again, I worry if they're in business, how are they taking the time to do that?
Yeah.
So then I tune them out. I look at it and I think, oh, here this person
is.
And it's the same information I've seen someplace else. I also think there are a lot of great free tools online if you're trying to learn what this terminology is or how to do social networking. There are a lot of free tools. And even in your in Atlanta, there are digital summits and things like that are being held for small, medium, and large corporations to learn about social media. So I'm a big proponent of those kinds of things as well.
So original content is really key.
Very much so. And have a great thought behind it before you post it. Just don't post a...
Throw it out there.
And I do think we did something recently where we did some research for a company, and they allowed us to post that. But what we did is we just posted a couple paragraphs from the research to tease people. There were people that were very interested, they could contact us. And we knew that those were possibly new clients. We didn't want to post the whole 3-page program. We wanted just to tease them. And we got probably 50% of the target that we were looking for to want more information. So I think if you can give them a little bit of information, and then hopefully if you're trying to drive more clients, that might be well worth your time to just do something like that.
Diane, do you have any thoughts on that, maybe in your realm?
Mm-hmm. Well, and I agree with the points that Debbie made, absolutely. I mean, there's a lot of regurgitating of banal content, and that's certainly where Twitter gets a bad rap. People talking about musings and thoughts that really are almost no interest to anybody else. But I think that when we talk about good use of social tools, I think that there are a lot of organizational tools out there that would allow an individual to utilize these tools without it competing with work and yet keeping their messaging consistent. There are things where you can advance posts, you can select content, and I mean, I like to say there's plenty of good content to go around. You don't have to be the originator of all good things, but you do need to know your audience, have a strategy attached to that, and share relevant content that's value-added with no strings attached. And the more individuals can put forth good messaging that's productive and useful to their target audience, the more it will, in a very natural way, grow followers. Grow people who think, gosh, whenever this person's opens their cyber mouth, you know, they've always got something good to say. And not only that, they've hit a chord with me. They seem to understand what my needs are. So it a lot of it comes back to knowing, you know, what your messaging really needs to be, and then not going over the top in terms of how much of that you're doing either.
So you're, it's kind of like you're you're fertilizing the ground for being able to grow seeds later on. Like you said, Debbie, mm-hmm. it probably took you, you know, loads of getting that reputation for people to actually read what you're putting out there and say, well, she's putting out something on, you know, a couple pieces of this report. But everything else that she said before has been good content for me. Now I want the rest of it because you've built that reputation up through that. Now you can actually go back to that field and, you know, kind of reap the harvest. Is that
That's exactly right.
I mean, that's the whole bottom line behind mm-hmm. this whole social media deal is get that reputation out there, be consistent, and then every now and then mm-hmm. go back in and, you know, utilize what you need to get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're looking at somebody who's not has no online presence, what's the danger? What are you missing if you really aren't out there at all?
Gosh, where do we begin, Debbie? I mean, this is leaving that stone unturned. I mean, loss of business, loss of credibility, loss of even your own safety net. You know, in terms of your own career. I mean, not being known or recognized outside of your own four walls of your business setting. Not building your brand, not being strategic, not staying relevant. I mean, those are the things that quickly come to mind. I know there's more.
I always say customers sometimes go away. And so you always have to be aware of the industry and who else you could go after should that happen. I was at a meeting a couple nights ago where the book LinkedIn for Dummies was passed around, and there were three people that said, I'm not working like I should online, and so they were able to give them that book to get started. But I think there are more groups for the baby boomers right now that are really being helpful to that particular, seems to be the group that's still maybe lagging just a bit on being up on social media.
Would it be fair to say that people are missing the opportunity to actually be in more relevant contact with their audience? Because these days, people screen phone calls, mm-hmm. or they're not at their desk. People are out and about. And I find, I mean, in my personal experience in the sales world right now, I get much better response from either a social media message mm-hmm. or a text to someone than I do a phone call or an email. Those two mediums seem to be shutting down. I mean, is that mm-hmm. an experience you guys are seeing as well?
Mm-hmm.
Very much so. And I'm particularly interested in LinkedIn and taking it to the next level on the different programs they offer. The most important thing to me that has happened this year is when I can look in to see who's actually looking at me. And I've actually contacted those people maybe a couple of days after I've noticed they've been looking at my profile. One, to see if they're interested in doing business with us. Or two, if they've been looking because they've, you know, the employment opportunities or whatever it may be. And it's interesting how many of those people have actually emailed me back or are actually interested in connecting. And I think they don't think about the fact that I was actually doing my search because I had seen them looking at me. So I've done some new business just by contacting those people afterwards.
And that's the premium feature of LinkedIn?
It is.
Can you explain that just a little bit for people that might not know?
It allows you to do more in-mails, and in-mails are opportunities to connect with people that you may not know, writing them a message, so to speak, and hopefully you'll get a message back from them. I think, for me, that's been running about 60% returned emails, 40%, and I'm going to a pretty high level here when I'm reaching out for them, so I certainly understand if someone doesn't have the time to do that. But I am kind of encouraged by how many people do email back and are interested in talking further if you put something in your message that's worthwhile. And then also the ability to look at who's viewing you. And there are some other features that I really haven't used too much just because I haven't had to, but they really are, it's well worth my, I think it's $49 a month to do that. So it's been very much worth that.
What have you guys found to be the most powerful part to these different social media sites? For example, let's start with LinkedIn. What do you think is the most powerful thing that you get from being active on LinkedIn?
I think that it really allows someone to hang out a virtual calling card, really. And if you populate the profile in a mindful way, then it can be very supportive of skills, capability, legacy of experience, what your objectives are, and it makes you findable. But that's still somewhat from a static perspective. I think that the real capability on LinkedIn is the ability to leverage your first-degree connections to get broker warm introductions and grow your network, and also to stay top of mind with individuals by messaging appropriately, you know, pinging your network through network activity updates, staying present in groups, being sharing valuable information with the network. I mean, there's just a lot you can do all under one roof to keep your audience engaged.
Debbie, anything on top of that?
I think the other thing is the memberships. If you belong to a couple organizations, you have access to the membership bases, and that's not a common feature many times with clubs and organizations that are important. So the fact that you can find people within the membership group that you could be doing some business with is also helpful, because they at least know that you've taken the time to find them through LinkedIn and done your homework before you give them a call.
Okay. And then maybe the other 1,000-pound gorilla, I guess, in the room, which is Facebook. Debbie, what would you say best thing about Facebook would be on a business side?
I would say the Facebook page about your business is the most important. If there's something interesting about your business that you feel your friends and relatives wouldn't mind seeing, that's fine. But again, I think almost everybody I know is at least on Facebook, so you have that group of people that you can continue to stay in touch with.
Anything to add to that, Diane?
No, I think that's absolutely true. And I think with the vast membership of Facebook still taking the lion's share of population that's out there, and getting on a ground level with your target audience, being able to commune with them, converse with them in a very kind of casual way can be great for rapport building. And also, I mean, to enhance what you're trying to communicate on your other social tools.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other, what else is out there that really people maybe aren't using that they should be in terms of sites or groups?
I like YouTube and I like Flickr. I think those, I post a lot of pictures and things, and I work with different products for Flickr. I would say YouTube has a lot of instructional information beyond just the funny pictures and videos that people have taken of their animals and those kinds of things. I do think there's an aspect. I was looking up something the other day that it was an instructional piece on YouTube that I thought was very worthwhile, and I'm not sure everybody knows that they actually have things like that available.
Yeah, so here's a story. I'm at my house this weekend, right? It's Sunday, and I just had some stuff done to the yard, and my irrigation system's all whacked out, right? So I'm trying to get it working, and I do something, and it won't turn off, and I don't know how to turn it off, and it's going for like an hour, and my yard is underwater literally with the with all the sprinklers going off, and I'm like, how do I turn this off? Because I'm kind of an idiot when it comes to this stuff, self-professed, and I go onto YouTube and I'm like, how do I turn off my water? And literally, here come five videos that say this is what you do. And the guy, there's one of them, the one that I watched was kind of comical. The guy is dressed up in some suit and he's got some German accent or something, obviously a play accent, and he just basically says, you know, you go out to here and you turn this and you get this wrench, and I did it and everything shut off, and I thought, God, that's nice. I'd been underwater for a whole another day before I got anybody out here. So a lot of instructional stuff out there. How do you use YouTube from a business perspective? Putting content out there, is that the main
yes,
thing?
Yes, you know? That's how I recommend that people use it. If they really are well-versed in a particular topic and they're comfortable being on video, then I think that's also a way to go, because you've got a lot more credibility when they can actually see you.
Yeah, yeah. Diane, any other sites or groups that you found to be very helpful?
Well, I really like Twitter a lot for a variety of reasons. I think it's an excellent amplification tool when used in conjunction with other social media tools. It's a great way to complement the messaging you're trying to put out there. It's a great way to stay relevant. There's a lot of great learning out there, a lot of content that anyone could learn from and then pay it forward and share it with others. Google Plus is the big question mark in my mind. I really like the capability of Google Plus. I like the feel of it, but it's a little bit of a hurry up and wait, and that the real capability comes into play when we have more end users who are engaged, you know, so you can commune with your customers, with your audience, and your client base. And so that's a little bit of a limitation, although there's so much promise of what you can do all under one roof. And then finally, Pinterest is really caught my interest, no pun intended. Now, I would love to experiment more with the platform. I just frankly don't have time. But I think specifically for people who are creatives, who have visuals to display.
What is Pinterest?
Pinterest is it's based on visual images. It's a social sharing site where you can create a virtual bulletin board where you can pin items that are in the public domain. And some of what I've read about this, too, is that it is really could be great for brand building. And some of the brands are experimenting with using this to build a sense of community with their audience and their followers. It's a captivating medium. It's one that, again, takes time. But I think it's definitely worth exploring because there's a lot you could do with the site.
What if somebody's just starting with this stuff? What's the first thing that you do? I mean, besides turn your computer on, what's the next thing that you do to build a brand and awareness online?
Know your objectives. Develop a strategy. I mean, this is one of the biggest challenges I have with coaching individuals and teams on this is there is a real urgency attached to getting out there and getting online, but you have to know why you're doing it. I mean, what is the reason? What are you trying to achieve? What's your time frame? What's your budget? What's your technical acumen? What are your resources? That's the front end work that needs to take place before anything happens, because otherwise it's just not going to be as effective
Just out there doing it.
Yeah, without any kind of strategy, no forethought attached to what you're trying to achieve.
And Debbie, how about on the corporate side? What if I'm a corporation or organization, is it the same step or is it different?
I think it's still the same step. You have the fortunate thing is about a larger corporation, you do have an inside marketing team normally that will put all that together for you, or you know, can change in a heartbeat on anything that needs to be updated about events or career opportunities or whatever. It's the first place I go when I'm trying to do my research on a company that I think I might want as a client, or if at the time I was, a couple years ago, I was looking for a position, I wanted to make sure I knew exactly everything that could about this company, and if I could find out about the key players and, you know, who ran the company and what their specific clients were and so forth. So that's having their own website that's accurate and easy to use. Mm-hmm. I was, a gentleman asked me to take a look at one of his clients' websites the other day, and they were trying to sell more advertising dollars, and they were not being as successful as they'd hoped to be. And I took a look at it, and there was so much confusion on the website, and it took me a while to find everything. And I'm pretty used to it, so it was just amazing to me that they had a group design that for him, and it wasn't very easy to use. So we made some improvements, and hopefully they'll be making some dollars now. But you know, just how easy is it to navigate around your website, too?
And the website being kind of the media that you're using.
There. Yes, the company website.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. What's your vision for this area 5 years from now? What do you see happening? Advancements? What do you see being the norm 5 years from now?
I think back to your earlier comment about if you're looking for a job, I think it's all going to be done by social networking. I belong to the Human Resources Society here in Atlanta, and already a lot of the HR people have been telling me that they keep the resumes, they're looking briefly at the resumes. Most of them are not looking at cover letters anymore. They're going right to the LinkedIn page. So for someone in a job transition or someone who's thinking about changing careers, I think that's going to be the way to go. I'm anxious to learn a little bit more about what's going to be happening. It's changing so quickly. I have all the iPads and iPhones and two computers and everything else, but it takes a while to stay up with it. And this digital conference is going to help me because a lot of the topics I've noticed are about the future of all these things. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure I'll know better about that in a couple weeks, but it takes a lot of time to be sitting behind your computer learning all this and being conversant about it.
Well, you think about 83 groups trying to be relevant in and even keeping up with it. It gives me a headache just thinking about that. It's frightening, but that's what you do, right? That's your gig. Diane, how about you?
Yeah, I think so. Absolutely agree about this being a real need on the part of job seekers to embrace these tools now, because it is definitely the lay of the land moving forward. And frankly, it's just a really easy way for people in a hiring capacity to find talent and to vet them and check them out. And I don't think the pendulum is going to swing back. And I think, too, from a business development perspective, I think organizations are going to become more savvy in terms of utilizing these tools to form warm connections, to prospect, to check out their competition, to keep an assertive edge in the market. And because really, when we look at ourselves, most consumers are going online to find service providers, to check them out, to make sure that they can provide the services that they want. And I think this is absolutely going to stay the case. And I think we're all going to be smarter because because there's access to so much good information out there that, I mean, you know, a good example is you're out dining and somebody has a question, what was that TV show from 2 years ago? And someone whips out a smartphone, and guess what? Now we all know what it is.
Yeah.
So
immediately. And almost anything.
Right. And also losing our wallets in a good way. You know, so I think that's going to go digital too, the ability to use technical tools to buy things, to gather intelligence about our buying habits. And some of that can be good, but some of that transparency might cause some concern with privacy protection as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, talking about protection, let me add one more question here before we run out of time today. How do you protect your social media? We know people click on things and, you know, the following links of interesting stories and their phishing attempts, their scams. And the next thing you know, you start seeing posts coming from people's profiles that you know they didn't post. It's something else. A lot of applications these days and even some sites want you to log in with your Facebook or your Twitter account, and it gives them access to a lot of your personal feeds and information. What can you do to protect yourself and your profile online?
It's actually a scary subject. I have been on the things that I do, my LinkedIn and my Facebook and Google Plus and so forth, and I've gone to settings, and I have made it very difficult for some people to find me. I don't post, you know, social security numbers. I don't, you know, things that they tend to ask, or where you bank, or I've had all kinds of interesting things come up. So the settings, and you have to stay on top of that, because a lot of times those networking sites don't always make a point of wanting you to go into settings and check a lot of things that you don't want someone to follow you.
Yeah, Diane, do you have anything?
Yeah, I think this is definitely a concern, although my only concern with addressing this is that there, certainly with a lot of people that I coach, there's an inherent scare factor in terms of putting themselves out there to begin with. So I would say that the advantages far out, before I say anything, the advantages far outweigh the negatives. And I want to be clear about that. So, but regarding privacy protection, some basic things to do are just check your settings, be vigilant about that, as Facebook is just the little minefield regarding this. The settings are constantly changing regarding privacy, and downloading applications to give people view of your profile, you know, is of concern. And I think it does, I mean, to Debbie's point, require vigilance and consistency and to monitor the traffic and the people that want to engage with you to make sure that this is a real person and you're not going to get hacked. And even with all that being said, it will probably happen on occasion.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So you have to got to crush T's and dot your I's and that stuff.
Exactly.
So as we wrap up today, let me end with kind of a final question on pearl of wisdom. What would you say is to the audience, to our listeners, would be your pearl of wisdom on social media and using it in today's marketplace?
I talk about the three E's. And my three E's are explain, educate, and enforce. So every time you're with someone who has a question, help them with it. I've been to a couple of meetings lately where I've volunteered to talk about social media to make sure people are clear in what is being offered. And frequency of participation. If you're really a subject matter expert on something, I think it's really important that you do blogging on the appropriate sites and so forth to make sure people understand, something that you've learned that you'd like to share. So I would say keeping up with your blogging and making sure your information is correct and interesting.
Okay. Thank you. Diane, what do you think?
Well, I think that never take your network for granted. You know, and I work with a lot of people who are trying to cobble together a network in a time of need, namely transition. And I think that a safer approach is make sure that you are maintaining, nurturing, and feeding that network so that if you do need to call on them, they'll be able to easily find you, and it won't be something that it'll be considered gratuitous, that you're reaching out to them at the 11th hour. And pay it forward, too. I mean, even though it can be all about you in the social space, this is something I often see, too, is even though it's all about you, it can never be about you in the social space.
Right.
It's a lot more about effective listening, engaging people, and providing valuable tips and content with no strings attached.
All right. Well, thank you both for taking some time out this morning and joining us. We appreciate your knowledge. Diane, if somebody wanted to get in contact with you, what would
sure.
be the best way to do that?
Couple of ways. Feel free to check me out on LinkedIn. I can be easily findable at Diane Crompton in Atlanta, or on Twitter. My Twitter handle is @DiCrompton. And feel free to check out my website as well, which is yoursocialmediastrategist.com. And I welcome a dialogue with anybody. Be happy to have an initial discussion.
Okay. Debbie, how about you?
I'm very active on LinkedIn, so I like to be contacted that way. And it's Debbie Reetz, R-E-E-T-Z. On LinkedIn. I also, our company is mediasolutionspartners.com, so we have a lot of information about our company there as well, phone numbers and so forth.
So your website's perfect, right?
I'd like to think it's getting close. It's not, it's ever changing.
That's right. Well, that's what it's supposed to be, right? You get all the hits. Well, again, we appreciate your time. Also to the listeners, thank you for tuning in. Until next week, be safe.
John Baker is a certified financial planner with a Master's of Science in Personal Financial Planning. Certified Financial Planner Board of Standards, Inc. owns the certification mark CFP, Certified Financial Planner, TM and CFP, and in the U.S., which it awards to individuals who successfully complete the CFP Board's initial and ongoing certification requirements. John Baker offers financial planning and securities through Woodbury Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor and broker-dealer, member FINRA/SIPC, located at 1050 Crown Point Parkway, Suite 1675, Atlanta, Georgia, 30338. This program is for information purposes only and should not be considered a solicitation of or offer to buy or offer to sell securities or investment advisory services. Information in this program regarding market or other financial information is obtained from sources which are believed to be reliable. We do not warrant or guarantee the timeliness or accuracy of this information. When considering any registered security products, seek a prospectus carefully before you invest. Make sure you consult your financial professional regarding any specific situation.